Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Dutch and Scott Sportscast. As you might be able to tell already, this is going to be a slightly different one. And since we've not uploaded one in about a week and a half, we're going to have a different approach for this episode. It will be slightly less long and we'll delve deeper into a few different subjects.
Yeah, we've got a lot to catch up on, don't we, Matthias?
Yeah, we've not been able to record as much due to us both working, having other responsibilities, and we've been trying to find a date, but it's not really worked out, unfortunately.
But we've got a lot that's happened and a lot to talk about, so let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get right into it with a first thing that we want to talk about is, I think it was just over a week ago as well, that the Man City ban, the Man City European football ban got overturned. Do you have more to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, CAS or CAS found Man City not to be breaching on any FFP, which it's hard to believe, to be honest with you. And it's probably a bit of a kick in the face to a lot of clubs who have been following FFP very tightly. I mean, it's good for Man City. It's good for Man City. It's good for players at Man City, etc. But it's not very good for the kind of, I say, football integrity in Europe. Do you agree?
Yeah, I was honestly very surprised to hear the news. I did not see it coming at all, and I pretty much thought that the main consensus around Europe was like, oh, I guess they deserved it because they've not been, the most fair spenders with their financial backing and like the massive resources that they have at their availability.
Yeah. Then also, understandably with them, they're a bit annoyed that they are getting pulled up, but the likes of PSG are just getting. But one thing I've seen is, have you noticed, Matthias, in recent years there's been some crazy, weird transfers? So, like, for example, Arthur to Juventus for 70 million plus Pjanic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, honestly, I cannot be surprised by the massive transfers anymore, and even for players that in recent years would not have gone for a lot of money, that go for a lot of money now, I can still not say that I'm massively surprised.
But I've seen a lot of people kind of theory that these kind of obscene transfers, like obscene amounts of money for players that aren't incredible, or have got a lot to do with avoiding FFP, because FFP is all profit made over a 3-year period.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we all know from FM, that is. So, making a massive transfer like that for a player like Arthur would clear you a wee bit from FFP, so that's one theory going about. But I mean, there's nothing to be sure of. But I mean, I do think if Man City got PSG, should get pulled up. There's a few clubs I can think of that should get pulled up for FFP. However, Man City is pretty blatant are guilty of it. Should probably have been banned, but that's what it is now. One thing that's probably a bit annoying about it, I think that I thought Man City would have a real good crack at the Champions League this year when back.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the risk of not playing for 2 years, but that kind of threat of not playing won't be there anymore.
True, yeah. I also thought that they would do quite well in Europe, and now that they can again, I'm sure they can go far.
Yeah.
Especially with all that money, of course.
Well, yeah, and then now they can spend again. They just sold Sané too, so they have a few extra pounds there.
Yeah, true. Another interesting fact that we wrote down here had to do with some transfer rumors. I saw that you wrote down Weston McKennie.
Yeah, Weston McKennie is an American plays for Schalke. And he's very good. He's very good. Again, he's a player I found on FM. Not a lad, I'm not going to say I found, but I came across on FM. Mm-hmm. And I really, really liked him. And so because of that, as I'm sure you've done in the past, I've kept an eye on him since. And I've watched as many games of him as I can. and he's very good. And he's finally been linked with a few big moves. One team that I've seen linked to him is Man United. He's a player that, maybe not Man U in the minute, but he could certainly cut it in the Premier League.
Yeah, yeah, I remember him from our save in Germany, indeed.
Oh yeah, 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 oh yeah, yeah. That was our save, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather not remember it though. So that's right.
Oh yeah, you got sacked, didn't you?
Well,
but, McKerry, very, very good. He's, you know, strong, fast, decent passer there. Oh, no, I wouldn't describe him fast, but he's got a lot of energy. He doesn't run out of, you know, steam very quickly. Mm-hmm. What I mean, I guess the phrase that they call it in the FM is tireless.
Yeah,
right. I can agree with that. It's probably the best way to describe it without saying, like, I'm just copying.
He has very high stamina.
Yes, high stamina. The guy can run. He's strong. He can pass. I think he's ideal for a lot of clubs. Maybe if the Saudi money does flood into Newcastle, they could be a player they could look into. I think he'd do well there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be interesting if it did. I mean, it would be a good move for him to find another club elsewhere, because over the recent years, Schalke have underperformed massively. So for him to develop, it might be good to make a step.
I don't think jumping to like one of the top teams in the English Premiership is the best move. I don't think that's the best move for any youngster, to be honest with you.
No, kind of like the road Wijnaldum took, like going to Newcastle first and then making the step to Liverpool.
That sort of thing, lots of people do that. You know, you see right now one midfielder that I highly rate that I think next season will do very well and will a lot of people was Thomas Susek.
Yeah.
Signing from Slavia Prague. He's, I mean, he started off a bit shaky, but he's really good. He's on the next season, I think he'll be brilliant. And him moving to West Ham could be the best kind of move he made rather than trying to move to a bigger club.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So I think McKennie, I think he could probably cut it at a Man U. Would he get a chance at Man U? Is a different situation. And if he doesn't hit the ground running, would he be able to stay there for a long time? Is obviously all the questions you need to ask. So a team kind of around about 6th, 7th, 8th is probably more where McKennie should go to start off with.
Sheffield?
He would do well at Sheffield, but they just signed Sander Berge, you see, so I'm not sure they'd be up for. Yeah, imagine Sander Berge and Weston McKennie. It would just be, you know, Chris Wilder playing FM one night and saying, I've signed him, I've signed.
Super Sheffield.
Next cool with that.
Yeah.
They'd be brilliant to play in FM next year. We'll be signing Tonali next. And who's your transfer rumour?
I wrote down Wesley Sneijder, which might be a surprising one, well, to say the least. It's an interesting story, actually. There is more behind it. A few weeks, maybe a month, Wesley Sneijder kind of got into the news again here. Of recently, he's been getting involved with FC Utrecht a lot, and he bought a skybox there. He goes to a lot of games whenever it was possible. And when they were playing Ajax, he was very supportive of FC Utrecht in his actions and also in his words. The Ajax F-site, which is the, you know, kind of like the ultra group of Ajax, posted an article on their website, kind of, you know, hating on Wesley Sneijder and saying, like, what are you doing? We are your club. We made you big. You just go support a club now that, okay, it's maybe from the city where you're from, but you'd never played for FC Utrecht. So that the Ajax supporters, they took a massive disliking in Wesley Sneijder. And Sneijder added fuel to the flame by making a video in response to this article. Like blatantly driving next to the Amsterdam Arena in his car and playing a song sang by a famous Utrecht singer, which is famous with the FC Utrecht fans.
Oh.
So as you can tell, all of this added some like heat to the entire conversation. And then the whole thing with Robin happened. And, You know, FC Groningen went crazy. They sold season tickets like it was nothing. They're the only team in the Netherlands to have sold more season tickets for the upcoming season than they did for the season before. Like all of the others with the whole uncertainty have sold less season tickets, which makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so this whole Robin return has kind of ignited the FC Utrecht fans into starting this offensive against Sneijder to make him sign for FC Utrecht, to make him come play again.
I mean, the only thing, the only kind of mitigation with that is that if I'm not wrong, he's a bit out of shape compared to Robin.
That was going to be my next point, and you're not understating like at all. Robin has been keeping in shape, and like we've discussed Robin before in the podcast, and the way the man looks, like physically, he might not be the prettiest, but like his body is so in shape and so strong still. It's insane. And then Wesley Sneijder has, after he's quit, seemed to be enjoying life a bit too much. He's gotten a little chubby, and he's been spotted countless times with a few drinks and maybe a cigarette. So for
Sounds
him,
like probably that.
yeah. So for him to make a return, it would take a bit more. But it's these kind of rumors are just ignited by passion and the fans and the club itself. And Wesley Sneijder also didn't say no. So it's probably not going to happen. But I just found it an interesting rumor and an interesting story.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, I am Robin. When he announced he's coming back to go again in the video, he said that he's gonna have to work hard to get his fitness levels, his match sharpness, etc., up to a standard to play professional football.
Yeah. Sneijder recently released a book, and in the book he also talks about Robin and Robin's mentality, and he's just saying that he's never seen a player like Robin before, and he compared it to himself. He was like, "If I would have had that mentality, I would have been up there with the greats, like of football."
I do agree with that. I mean, 2010 season, he deserved the Ballon d'Or.
Oh, he was so good for Inter and the Netherlands at that point.
So, I mean, if he did, maybe what he would have been. But then there's countless examples, even with some of the greats, Ronaldinho, his mentality was maybe a bit more professional.
Yeah, I mean,
Who knows what heights he would have reached.
we can go on and on this topic, like, but
I know.
there's going to be many of those players. Like, what if, for example, Cristiano Ronaldo didn't have the mentality that he had? Where would he have been? So,
Ah,
yeah,
exactly, that's true.
there's many examples. But also a funny example of like a good bridge here of a good player and a World Cup legend, André Schürrle. He is
Sorry.
retired from professional football at the age of 29. Probably most famous for his assist to Götze in the 2014 World Cup final.
It's a shame, this one, because I seen his post about retiring, and it was kind of heartfelt. It was basically explaining that he'd hit his peak, the highs were behind him, and it's now just disappointment after disappointment. And yeah, I felt bad for him. Do you know what I mean? Because I could see if you look at his career path, he was exciting when he played in Germany, he was doing fantastic, he won the World Cup, and then it's just been a film, for example, it's went downhill rapidly from there. Now, at the age of 29, he's forced into retirement over the head of it. It's probably the right decision in terms of mentality. Clearly, the guy, his confidence has been knocked. He's not feeling good, stuff like that. And he could probably try to focus his energy to something different, And trying at 29 gives him more time to kind of, maybe develop as a coach.
Yeah, who knows what he's going to get into, but I honestly, like, I remember his time at Chelsea quite well as well, where you saw the potential and you saw that he was actually very good, but he never really like got the best out of it. And then
He was a
same, yeah.
good player, but just he never quite struck gold, did he? Aside from the Cup final,
Yeah.
there was a lot more potential there than that. It was the same with Mario Götze. Obviously, he had some medical issues off the pitch, but he's another player that didn't quite hit the stride everyone expected him to hit. Shame for André Schürrle, but all the best to him.
Yeah, let's see where his future is.
It could be the best decision he makes, hopefully it is.
And then another player who might have an interesting future is Gareth Bale.
Yeah, I mean,
So the link to the La Liga title win by Real Madrid.
he's again, I feel a bit bad for Bale. And I do agree with him as well. Real Madrid are infamous for mistreating players. The fans, the board. I mean, look, Iker Casillas basically got kicked out of the club. He's a club legend. Probably the best goalkeeper in my lifetime. And
You're
he got kicked out.
disrespecting Aurelio Gomez there, but go on.
I remember that 2010 World Cup final. What a leg that Iker Casillas has, eh?
Oh, that was like the worst moment probably of my life so far.
He's the disrespected Iker Casillas, but basically kicking out the club. Ronaldo, they booed Ronaldo. Fans booed Ronaldo, even though he's a top goal scorer. He was incredible. You know, there's example after example, especially since kind of like Galactico era of Real Madrid fans, and Real Madrid is a being mistreated players.
It's an
And
infamous club for that reason, indeed.
and Bale, I mean, Bale, he proved it in 2018 when he, you know, the Champions League, he scored a few crackers, the golden overhead kick in the final.
Oh, that was an insane goal, but
It
like
was an
there's no
insane goal.
denying that Bale is an incredible player, but for some reason it's just like the way he just exposes himself to the media as well, and the way he gets portrayed in Spanish media as well is it's yeah.
I mean, he's proved time after time in recent years to be incredible, as you say. And initially, when it was Ronaldo, Benzema, Bale, he was brilliant then. Zidane didn't take a liking to him. Partly, I think, probably because he doesn't speak Spanish, maybe. It might be partly to do with it. But he didn't like Bale. Left him on the sideline. Bale basically said, "Oh, well. Treat me like rubbish. I'll just enjoy my life." He's living up in Madrid, playing golf. He's got 2 more years left in his deal. You know, he's making absolute buckets of money. Why not?
I wouldn't complain either, yeah, but
No, good point.
I think
It's not
we've all
like he's
seen the
not going to get
video,
a call for Wales. He's the best player.
yeah, true.
Whether
I
he's
mean,
playing or not for Real Madrid, he'll get a call for Wales. So it's not like he's risking anything internationally.
imagine having a life like that where you can just like sit on a couch and rake in the money.
Exactly, that's exactly what he's doing. And I respect him for it because, again, we don't know. We see what happens in the media. We see the media saying this and saying that. We don't hear from Bale often about what, you know, maybe he's not training with the team. Maybe he's excluded from the dressing room. Maybe he's this, maybe he's that. You know, who knows what the board tried to do? Who knows what Zidane's tried to do with it?
But
I don't blame him.
not true. But there's no denying that the videos look very awkward.
Oh yeah. I mean, him, he just messes around. He's constantly playing golf. I mean, what's the banner? And he was playing with Wales. It was what was it? The banner was
Oh,
Wales golf,
yeah,
Real
and
football,
Madrid.
Real Madrid in that order.
Imagine having the audacity to also do something like that.
I don't know. He can do it. He can do it once in a lifetime. And I think as well, when his 2 year deal's up, he'll still get a move to at least a decent club, and he'll still do well at that decent club because he has a talent and he does know how to work hard. He's done it at the top.
I'll just go to TNS or something.
And it's not like he's out of shape or anything. Whenever he has had a go with Real Madrid, his fitness hasn't taken him up.
I
Do you know what I
mean,
mean?
yeah, that's
He's
the same
clearly.
thing. His physicality, his body looks amazing, and
He's clearly still taking care of himself, so he'll just jump into a club. He's just going to enjoy the money and golf while he can.
yeah, but as we expected, he still did win the league title with Real Madrid. It kind of unfolded very dramatically. Like Barcelona slipped up a few times, and from what I've seen, you can tell that the club chemistry is gone somehow. I don't know who they were playing, but Messi scored a free kick, and he hardly even celebrated, and he just looked annoyed. And I've never even seen him like that before.
The Barcelona, but if you look into the history of Barcelona, it's very polite. It's extremely political. Always has, you know, the chairman of the club, the person, the chairman of the club always is controversial. It's almost like a president election campaign they have every so often. It's really
Yeah,
weird.
it's kind of like synonymous with Spanish football, the whole club president thingy, and it's a, I mean, it's a very different system from what we're used to.
But there's always some sort of controversy with
Always
Barcelona.
drama, always.
And now the current president is a man named Bartomeu, I think his name is. And he's disliked, basically. He's accused very often of taking the integrity of the club. Barcelona are obviously, as you discussed, known as the Cruyff Club, the club that values Cruyff ideals and you know, all the way up to Tiki-Taka in the 2010s. And they focus very much on the La Masia youth academy, which obviously got Messi, Iniesta, Xavi, Busquets, so on and so forth through. And I think it was a game a few years ago, and it was the first game where where Barcelona didn't play any youth graduates. They were all signed, and it's that sort of thing that Bartomeu is hated for. He's bringing in players constantly, big money deals for bang average players. A lot of the time, you know, Arda Turan, one big example.
Braithwaite.
Braithwaite, there's loads of really weird examples, and basically Messi's had enough. It's another common trait in Barcelona where there's always a big character on the team that if he falls out with you, you're done. Cruyff, Messi. You know, Messi's finally taken a stand against Bartomeu, and everyone's going to follow Messi. Who would you rather have your club, Messi or Bartomeu?
I mean, it's always still
So,
the players that are regarded as the more important player, li literally in this instance. So, I
well,
mean,
certainly since the Bosman ruling, players hold the power.
yeah.
So, but the thing is with this, though, is Messi, I have to say it, but I have to be a bit careful. He is only getting old. I mean, he's still incredible. Don't get me wrong. But him turning down an extension with Barcelona, he's only ever played for Barcelona. If he does actually go through with the leaves and it doesn't work out elsewhere, what then? You
Yeah,
know, what does a 34-year-old midfielder, winger do?
it's going to be so weird to see him in
Yeah.
another shirt that it's not the Argentina or the Barcelona shirt.
And I'm certain he's got a few more years in him. I'm certain as well. I think if he stays with Barcelona, he could certainly go into his late 30s because I think he'll eventually move into midfield. But if he starts moving, it could start to deteriorate him because he'll have to restart and he won't have the power that he has at Barcelona.
I mean, I'm sure the
So,
man would even be decent in goal, like honestly.
I do. I think he'll be decent wherever he goes, but it would be a shame to see him leave Barcelona this way.
Like especially this he deserves like the stadium being named after him. Like that's how far it goes.
If Messi does leave, there is a real risk of Barcelona falling into almost the same category as AC Milan.
And also, like to tie into that fact, have you seen what happened to Deportivo La Coruña?
Yeah, relegated to past the Segunda Division then.
Yeah, to the third tier. Imagine like what kind of experience FC Barcelona could go through. Not saying that they're going to get relegated to the third tier, but you know, they could have some kind of fall down the ranks of La Liga at
Yeah,
least.
I mean their core is old. They're not producing players the same with that because they've taken the focus off the player. Off that was one that was it. I always mention him because I love him, but you hate him. Cruyff done very well. He transformed that academy by changing one simple rule. But Barcelona used to have a rule where he basically had to be or would be 6 foot at least.
Oh, all right.
And Cruyff changed that
Yeah, I mean, it seems like
because he said that
one of the few good things he's done.
one of the few, and that simple rule change that Cruyff done basically opened up doors for Messi, Iniesta, and Xavi to all come through the Barcelona system. None of them reached.
Yeah.
Because I imagine what would have happened to Messi had Barcelona not brought him through.
He might have played at Real Madrid.
And that's all thanks to Cruyff, so.
Well, we've talked about the FC Barcelona Academy in a few recent podcasts, and
Yeah.
like I agree with like there's not enough players coming through, not
Not
enough
at all.
exciting players coming through. I could only name like one or two, and that's about it. And then, you know, if you look down the leagues, you can see like a few other teams making some exciting developments.
Yeah.
And who knows, like what could happen to Barcelona well, the next few years, because there might be a little era of supremacy for Real Madrid if the trend
Yeah.
continues like it is now.
Real Madrid are looking good. Their youth is looking better. They have signed a lot of them, like Edin Militao, etc. They have their youth
I
kind
mean,
of
those
core.
clubs will always sign a lot of players,
Oh
you know.
yeah. I mean, Barcelona at the minute, Ansu Fati
Yeah, that's
is
the only
playing for
one that
them.
I was thinking of, you know.
Rui Puig, I think his name is.
Yeah, that guy, but the one with the difficult name.
Yeah. The other thing that Barcelona have done differently than in the past is they used to, when they brought through players, play them a lot. Now they're loaning them out. If you
Yeah.
look across the Spanish leagues, there's quite a lot of players on loan from Barcelona.
Becoming like the Chelsea or Manchester City.
It's not quite to Chelsea extent, but it's just something Barcelona haven't really done in the past.
Yeah.
It's always been a case of they develop the players, they play the players, and players become first team players. Which they're going to do with Fati eventually, but just loaning out players is slightly against the typical Barcelona way.
Yeah, but you know, we'll see. Next season, another season.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen? It's a
Yeah.
very insecure time. So we'll have a few other leagues to look at. First one on our list is the Turkish Super League.
Yep.
We'll just have a short discussion about each of the following leagues that we're going to mention. Our surprising league champion in Turkey, it was not Fenerbahce, it was not Beşiktaş, it was not Galatasaray, but it was Istanbul Başakşehir,
Yep.
the team of Premier League rejects.
Yeah, exactly. But Gil Clichy.
Gyökeres, Arda Turan is there now as well.
Yeah.
Do you remember El Hierro Elia?
Yeah.
Skrtel?
Yeah.
Robinho still?
Yeah.
Which
It's
is
crazy.
crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy how many ex kind of big players have gotten. But yeah, they've won the league there.
Yeah.
Slightly, deservedly so. They've played. I mean, they've been the best team, really. They've won it by a good, you know, 7 points. So
Yeah,
it's hard to argue.
there was a short like title challenge with Trabzonspor, who are
Yep.
a more renowned team in Turkey, because Başakşehir have also not done it without outside funding. So you know, it's
Oh, yeah.
but you know, Trabzonspor was a is a very well known club, a very well supported club, maybe like the fourth supported club in Turkey, if I'm correct. But yeah, Istanbul Başakşehir have beaten them to the title for the first time in their history.
Yeah, so good for Istanbul, but Trabzonspor have a few very good players too.
Yeah, they had Daniel Sturridge for a little while as well.
So they did until he got banned for betting. But
Yeah.
then third's also surprising position, Sivas.
Yeah, Sivaspor.
Aren't a huge team.
Yeah, we talked about them before as well, and the only name that like immediately came to mind to me was Aruna Kone, who I remember from the time at PSV.
Yep.
I had no clue he was actually still playing because he's quite old. So I don't know if he
Yeah.
even plays many games, but he's still there. He's still part of the team, so you know.
I know. And then we've got the teams you expect are going to be up there: Beşiktaş in fourth, Galatasaray fifth, Alanyaspor sixth, Fenerbahçe seventh, and Antalyaspor eighth.
Yeah.
After that, they're not very well known clubs. The only one Konyaspor,
Yeah, I mean,
your 13th.
there's some interesting teams in Turkey, but honestly, like both of us are probably not the biggest, you know, like how do you say, experts on the Turkish league.
No,
But for all we know, we know the big ones, of course, and then seeing the top three is such a surprise, but I mean, I like these surprises. It's something different, and it's something that La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, and Ligue 1 lack currently.
I agree. It's I personally, I quite like keeping an eye on the Turkish league. There's always drama somewhere.
I
But
mean, if you're looking for drama,
yeah, exactly.
it's kind of a synonym for Turkey.
Well, exactly. So yeah,
What?
the next league to look at is the Portuguese league,
Yeah,
whereby
yeah.
there's not any upsets. The biggest four clubs are clubs. Got the winners, eventual winners being Porto, so I lost that bet. I backed Benfica.
I chose Porto.
Yeah, Benfica dramatically lost their challenge, but losing by a grand total of 8 points. But Porto won it after a 6-1 rounding victory over Moreirense.
Yeah, Moreirense or something, so something like that. I mean, we're both also not fluent in Portuguese, so we'll let it slide.
But after them, it's Benfica in second on 74 points. Sporting Lisbon came third, and Braga fourth. So not overly surprising.
Yeah, and then only like fifth place, Famalicão is a recently promoted team as well, and they were actually like first place for a little bit at the start of the year. I think I remember reading an article about them when like the league just started again, and everyone was like, "Oh, what's happening in Portugal? This new team." But also they've been, I think they've been backed by Sugar Daddy to jump up the leagues in the last few years. And they're like an exciting new project. Well, not a new team, but a new project.
So good on them. There is a few relatively big names further down the table. You've got Rio Ave and Vitória, sixth and seventh, which isn't overly surprising. Famalicão, as
Yeah.
Natasha just explained, doing well. But more surprisingly, near the bottom of the table is Boavista and Maritimo,
Yeah, that's
who are
two more well-known teams indeed.
two big teams, kind of at the lower end of the table. They're not relegation worthy, but they're 11th and 12th, which is quite poor for bigger clubs in Portugal.
Yeah, and with one game to play still, they cannot really go up or down. And then
Exactly.
yeah, we have the bottom two, Aves already relegated with 17 points after 33 games, which is a very poor total.
Jeez. Yeah.
And then 17th currently is Portimonense with 30, but then on 16th is Vitória de Setúbal with 31, and
Yep.
then 15th is Tondela with 33, and they all have a very like similar goal difference. But then again, I'm not sure if the Portuguese no, it doesn't go by goal difference, because Portimonense goal difference is better than Setúbal's, but yeah, Portimonense is
Setúbal
below
have got a big
Setúbal.
team too.
Yeah, so it's not by goal difference, so it doesn't really matter. So it's probably games against each other.
The next league to look at is the English Championship, which has its new winners, Leeds United.
Back after so many years.
16 years, isn't it?
It was a long time. I think 16 indeed, and even with a spell in League One for a little bit. I don't know if you've seen those photos, like on Twitter especially. I've seen a lot of people in the stands with these banners. We'll be back, and kind of recreating those photos now, 16 years later, and you can see how much people aged. It's kind of crazy.
I know. But it's good to see. It's nice to see. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Leeds personally. But it's good to see a bigger club get back into the Premiership, because the likes of Bournemouth, although I like Eddie Howe and stuff, they aren't a big club, Bournemouth.
Yeah. The same thing. I mean I like Leeds in the way that they're a well-supported team with a nice old stadium and a historic name in football. And then I mean I don't have any real like negative or positive feelings towards them. And then same thing goes for like the number two, West Brom, with tonight being the deciding tie in the championship. They're 1 point above Brentford, who can also still get automatic promotion tonight.
I mean, I would quite. It's a bit of a tough decision that one because I'd quite like to see Brentford see a new face
Yeah.
in the Prem, and they've played some really nice football, some really good players, Brentford.
Brentford are like one of those teams that, I mean, I think everybody quite likes.
Yeah, no one has any disposition towards them, but West Brom as well are a club that recently were in the Premiership. I like them in the Premiership, so I wouldn't mind seeing them back again.
Yeah, I have no ne negative feelings towards West Brom.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's to me it's all right. I
The other team that
quite
could,
like them.
oh sorry, the other team that could do it tonight is Fulham, who again went back down last year, so who knows, as long as they don't repeat the same mistakes they did last year.
Yeah, they need just need everything to go their way, really, tonight.
Exactly.
And then on the bottom end of the table, as I just heard a while ago, Wigan Athletic are getting a 12-point deduction, which means that they would be in the relegation places. And would only like Luton and Charlton would only have to win their next matches to guarantee to stay up in the league.
It seems a little unfair to take 12 points off them at the end of the season.
Yes, but apparently the EFL are going through that, and for Wigan, like they've had a relatively okay season. They're not one of the big shots in the championship, and to like being 13th after 45 games is not too bad. I mean, they would have been like happy, satisfied with staying up this year, like especially being above the likes of Queen's Park Rangers, Reading, Sheffield Wednesday, Stoke, Huddersfield, Middlesbrough, Birmingham as well, which are big names. So
Yeah, I mean,
you have to feel for
I
them.
don't think that's very fair for them. They I understand taking 12 points off them because they have to by regulation in the off season. So next season they start with minus 12, which is tough. But to take 12 off with what, a game or two to go?
One game. Tonight is the
One game.
final leg, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think that's daft.
But the teams that are happy with it, you know, are the teams below them.
Other big move from that bottom end of the table into the championship is Jude Bellingham, Birmingham,
Huh? Yeah, went to Borussia Dortmund.
into Borussia Dortmund. It's a big signing. A lot of Birmingham fans are not happy with it. Crazy to me.
I mean, what can you
It's a
do?
lot of money.
He's going to Borussia Dortmund. Like, no offense to Birmingham, but you know,
Who would you rather play for?
it's a slightly bigger team.
Exactly, only slightly, only slightly. One's, you know, really fighting for relegation, and the one's fighting for, well, fought for the title in the Bundesliga.
Well, the other team finishes second in the Bundesliga every year.
Exactly. The next league, which has had a bit of a flip at the top, is the Swiss League. St. Gallen were on top of that, and we spoke about how that was a surprise for a while.
Yeah,
However, now.
I remember when we did our first podcast, we were talking about the surprise of St. Gallen. They have only recently let go of first place to Young Boys. And I believe there's six games left in the Swiss Super League, so we'll have to keep an eye on how that's going to develop. It's between St. Gallen and Young Boys, with an outside chance for Basel, who are 8 points behind Young Boys.
I mean, young boys are unsurprising winners.
Yeah, like of recently, they've kind of taken over from Basel, who had the you know who were the best team in Switzerland for a number of years.
And at the bottom end of the table, unsurprisingly, is Neuchâtel Xanadu, who they're just recently promoted. But yo-yo this year for them, up them back down.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunate for them, but yeah, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, basically. The final league that we want to discuss.
Yeah, to go out on a high, let's say that.
Yeah, you could certainly. It's a bit of a random And you'll see why when we explain it. So, let's see if we can get up here. It's basically the Women's Albanian League.
Yeah, probably not many of you listening have heard anyone saying that before.
And we stumbled across it. Myself and Matthias, when we're going to record these podcasts, we keep an eye out for big results, a big 8-0, big 9-0 or something like that, or even 6-0, something big. And I was scrolling through the scores app, and I came across this league, and the result there on the 8th of July, 12-1, 12-0, 11-0, 5-0, and 8-0.
Yeah, it's some crackers there.
And it's the same every week. The following week, 6-0, 12-0, 7-2.
If you wanna like have a league, watch a league where you'll definitely see a lot of goals, go watch the Albanian Women's League.
There was a 14-0 on the 20th of June. In fact, take that back, on the 20th of June, there was a 21-0.
A 21-0.
21-0 to Blaznia against Jadzia.
Wow.
21-0, that is insane.
Should see if we can find like a highlight video of that game.
In terms of the table, there's 10 teams. At the top of it is a team that won 21-0. Be surprised with Blaznia. There are 52 points, having won 17 games, won and lost none, with 166 positive.
Wow.
Behind them is Apollonia on 47 points, 15 wins, 2 draws, 1 loss against top table, and 146 positive goal difference. And then at the flip end of the table, the bottom team is a team called Village Sporti, who have won 1 game, lost 17, with a minus 133 goal difference.
That's insane. And
I mean, genuinely, if you look through their scores, it's literally like 12-0, 12-0, 4-0, 5-0, 12-0, 9-0, 13-0, 8-0, 14-0. It's ridiculous.
and they've won a game, you said, right?
They've won one game.
So they have scored.
The one game was against Yati, who are the team that 21.
Damn. All
They
right.
beat them 1-0, who are the team that are above them, having won two games now. But have a worse goal difference, minus 136 goals they've conceded. So, yeah.
That's very interesting. Maybe to conclude this podcast, I have one result as well, which happened yesterday on the 21st of July. In the Netherlands, we're all playing friendlies now, so nothing really interesting. But yesterday, VVV Venlo, Lee Kettermol's team from last year, played a friendly game against a local team and won 19-0.
Oh, jeez.
And if you want, if you're interested, there's a highlight video on VVV Venlo's YouTube channel and on their social media. So if you're interested in seeing 19 goals against an amateur side, look it up.
I will do.
But yeah, that concludes our special podcast. I'd say it's special,
That's too
right?
special. It's a different one.
So thank you very much for listening to our seventh podcast. We'll be trying to keep it up as best as possible. We've been promising to upload one every week. that's not happened.
One thing I hate to break to you, Matthijs, is it's a sick podcast.
Ah, damn, it's a sick. That's true.
yeah but yeah thank you for listening to our sixth podcast.
Okay, you take it.
sure, we're doing that end bit,
Oh, no, you can do it. Come on, go ahead.
just continue from where we're.
Of
Okay,
course.
yeah, sixth podcast. Much to Matthijs's surprise, thank you for listening. Bit different, different reasons for this, as we say, work and Matthijs is a flight catch soon, and he'll be away for a wee bit, so we're getting ahead on podcasts, etc. But we are planning on come end of August, start September, potentially putting out two podcasts a week and being a lot more punctual with our podcasts as we'll both be back at uni and more into a routine. So,
the football's back show.
And the football will be back too, so it'll be a lot easier. But thank you for listening. Hope to see you on our seventh podcast. Bye bye.
See ya.